This is the Legacy Minded Leadership Podcast, and we're your hosts, James and Maria Collins.
We are on a mission to help you answer the divine call in your life, to experience transformation for God's glory, and to advance His kingdom.
The world needs more people who are confident in their identity and are living intentionally to fulfill their life's mission.
Your legacy depends on you leading yourself well and taking action towards a clear vision for your life.
Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will."
We are here to help you renew your mind so you can stop chasing the things of this world and start living a purpose-driven life that is uniquely yours.
We want you to experience abundance in all areas of your life, but it's not just about you. It's about leaving a legacy that endures far beyond your time on earth.
God has entrusted you with unique gifts. You get one life to use those gifts to leave a lasting impact for generations to come.
Your legacy begins now.
Welcome to the Legacy Minded Leadership Podcast. We are your hosts, James and Maria Collins. Hi, James.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am good. I'm very excited for the topic of our chat today. We're going to be talking about habits and discipline.
Yeah, that's right up your alley.
Yes, it is. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's go.
Let's go. So why are we talking about habits tonight? Well, mainly because all success in life comes from consistency over time, which requires habits and discipline. Habits are defined as settled or regular tendencies or practices. And so when I think about that definition of what a habit is, that word settled is really sticks out to me. It's something that we've practiced over and over again, and it becomes a behavior or an action that we take that is often done without conscious thought.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, right? That you have done it so many times that you can do it without thinking about it, without even notice that you're doing certain things. When we talk about good or bad habits, it's what you're doing, how you're doing, and the consistency of what you're doing. So being intentional about your habits, it will help you to create the good habits, the positive habits in your life. And then we all have habits that are quote unquote bad, right? It's something that we just pick up at doing some point. And until you become aware and you wanted to acknowledge and then stop those habits, you will continue to do it. Because when it becomes a habit, it's really engraved and it's hard to undo it.
That's right. Yeah. With a lot of things that we talk about, I feel like the key to a lot of this is it starts with awareness, and habits are no different. Like you said, you've got good habits and bad habits. But being intentional about developing the habits that are going to serve you and serve your mission and your purpose comes down to, number one, are you aware of what you're doing and why you're doing it? Are you aware of which habits are serving your mission and which ones are not? And then how are you intentionally changing your habits over time to do more of the good ones and less of the bad ones? And so that's what we're going to talk more about tonight. We're not going to get too much more into, definitions of habits and explaining that. I think most people understand what a habit is. We are going to talk some tonight about discipline as well. Discipline being the ability to perform the right things when you need to do them. So the habit is the behavior that you need to practice and ingrain into your daily routine is kind of an unconscious thought, but discipline is what it's going to take to eliminate bad habits from your life or to create new good habits for your life.
It's doing the thing when you don't feel like doing the
thing.
Yes.
Exactly. So let's get into why habits are so important. It really gets down to the heart of why we're talking about this in the first place. And as always, we like to go to the Word to help explain why we are thinking about the things that we're thinking about, why we're talking about the things that we're talking about, and for you and I, why we're living this thing out and being intentional about how we're designing our lives. So I want to go to first Proverbs 25, verse 28. It says, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." So you think about a city without walls is a city without defenses. If we're not being intentional about creating self-control, and that's where the word discipline comes into play. You just talked about discipline is doing the things even when we don't want to do them. That's self-control. Self-control is the ability to say yes to the things we know we need to do that are going to serve us and say no to the things that we know are not going to serve our purpose or are going to get us off track.
Yeah, I love this verse, and reading it, what I see is when what you said, right? The city without the walls. You got to think of cities back then, right? In Bible times, it's not the cities like we have today. They had walls to protect them from the influence of the outsiders. So all the walls coming down, it meant the city was open and vulnerable to the influences of whoever wanted it to come in and take over. So there was no protection. I see as if you don't create those walls, if you don't create the intentionality of how you want to live your life, other people will influence how you live your life.
That's right. And the world in general will influence it. And if we aren't intentional, especially as believers of Christ and followers of Christ, we're intentional about living a godly life, a life that is honoring the Spirit of God that is within us. The world would have us living a different way and developing habits that don't serve the purpose of our lives if we're not intentional about identifying the habits that we want in our life and eliminating the ones that we don't. Paul has a really great analogy that is often used to explain a lot of different topics, but we're going to use it tonight to help illustrate this idea of good habits and discipline in particular. And it comes from 1 Corinthians. It's chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And I'll just read it here. It says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." And the things that stick out to me in those verses, the prize, we understand the prize that we're after is that picture of us kneeling before the throne of God when this life is over and hearing him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Glorifying God, advancing the kingdom of God on earth, that's our purpose. That's the prize, the crown that we will have is the knowledge and understanding that we've served that purpose through the life that we're living here. But what Paul says, the way that he says it here is that, number one, everyone competes, but the athletes go into strict training to compete for that prize. Those are the habits that they're developing over time. That's the discipline that they're undergoing, is that strict training. They're dieting, they're exercising, they're doing drills, they're practicing what they're going to need to do when the race day comes. And then the other thing that sticks out to me is when he says, "I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." What he's talking about is he's disciplining his flesh. And a lot of times the habits that we've formed, the bad habits that we've formed in life, are those habits of the flesh. It's usually habits that bring comfort to our flesh in some way. their habits that are, you take social media scrolling, for instance, that's that dopamine hit that we have conditioned ourselves to over time by the constant scrolling or the looking for likes or comments on our posts. You know, those are things that from a biblical perspective, those are fleshly desires. They're things that if we're operating from a flesh standpoint, we will build habits that only satisfy the flesh. But we understand that in order for us to serve our purpose, we've also got to be satisfying the spirit, really satisfying the spirit more than we're satisfying the flesh. And what Paul is talking about here is he's attaining to a higher calling. He's attaining to a crown that will last forever, is the way that he puts it. So he understands that he's got to discipline his body. He's got to discipline his flesh, those desires that creep up in all of us. He's disciplining himself in those areas so that he's not preaching one thing to somebody else, but he's not living that out for himself as well, which would disqualify him from receiving the crown when his life is over.
Yeah, that's good. Another thing for the importance of having habits. You're living right now. What are you experiencing in your life is the result of your habits.
That's right.
Either good or bad. So if you look at your life and reflect in the life that you're living right now, if you're not happy with it, there's some tweaks you can do to change that. So there's a quote from John Maxwell that says, "You never change your life until you change something you do daily. The secret of your success is found in your daily routine." I love that quote. It's so good. He also usually says, "Let me spend a day with you and see and watch you live you one day, and I'll tell you if you're going to succeed or not. I can tell you what are your priorities by the way you live your life." Like I said, if you're not happy with the way you're living right now, you can change some things to make it better. The patterns that you keep seeing happening over and over and over again that frustrates you, that makes you feel uncomfortable, things that you don't want it in your life, those are the things that you need to change.
Yeah, that's it right there. Habits will set patterns for your life. So the routines that we have in life are set by those habits. And we'll get into a little bit more detail in a little bit about like triggers for certain habits and that sort of thing. But that's what it is. Like at the heart of it, it's the patterns that we're creating for ourselves in our life. Those patterns are either serving us or they're not. And they're all driven by habits. And you hit on like consistency is one of the primary reasons why understanding your habits and working to intentionally eliminate bad habits or build good habits is so important, because your habits and routines are those behaviors, again, that are repeated regularly over and over again, and they provide that structure for consistency in your life. And if you're consistently doing the things that you need to be doing, then success follows that. If you're consistently doing things that aren't serving your purpose, that are time wasters for you, or they're things that are detrimental to your mission, then obviously those things are going to have a negative impact on your ability to succeed in whatever you've set your goals on.
Yeah, and James Clear, the author of the book Atomic Habits, he says this way, "All big things come from small beginnings. The seed of every habit is a single tiny decision." That decision to do the thing today. Don't think about tomorrow. Don't think about yesterday. Just decide it right now. Just do it one day. And then tomorrow you make the same decision and keep doing. And that seed, right, every day, it start growing. Mm. And one day in the future, you're going to wake up and see the success because of that consistent habit that you created in your life.
Yeah, so we talk about growing in consistency, personal growth, reaching goals or achieving goals that you set for yourself. Building character is another thing that habits help do for us, because habits will reflect your character. The things that you're doing routinely, unconsciously, a lot of times, they are a reflection of who you are. And then your discipline leads to better habits. So when we talk about discipline, again, we're talking about self-control, the ability to control our impulses, stick to our goals. Like you said, even in the face of temptations or distractions, even in the face of it being something that we're not real excited to do, having the self-control and the discipline to go do that thing anyway, because you know that that thing is necessary for success, that leads to better habits over time, which again influences all of those things that we talked about, your character building, your personal growth, goal achievement, all of that.
Yes. And in my book, The Joy of Becoming, that's exactly what I do, right? I help my reader go from building your vision, right? Be very clear of the vision, and then you assess the life that you have. When you're assessing the life that you have, it means like taking inventory. You're looking and reflecting all the habits, your time, what are you spending time on, all the things that you have. What I'm helping my reader do is understand, what do you have in your life right now that's no longer serving you? So you need to let go of those things and then replace with the habits that you need to become that person ready to live that life that you wanted to have. And so that's why we started this podcast talking about vision, identity, knowing your core values, your beliefs, because that's all coming together, right? If you have that vision clear, it's easier for you to understand the habits that you have now. Are they taking you closer to that vision, or are they taking you further from that vision? Yeah. And then you can switch and replace with the ones that will take you closer to that vision. I like that, growing into your habits and being having discipline in your life. We also grow your resilience in life and your success, of course, by doing the things over and over again and piling it up into success. Improve your health, improve your mental health, your emotional. Mm-hmm. It will reduce stress, because you organizing and knowing what's happening, what's going to happen, because you're creating that routine, you're creating that habit into your life.
That's right. So let's talk about how folks can develop good habits or break bad habits once they become aware of them. So you'd mentioned before this book by James Clear, Atomic Habits. It's one of the best books that I've read and one of the more recent books that I've read on habit development. But he talks about the four laws of behavior change, and we wanted to share that with the listeners today. Mm-hmm. To give them some of the downloads from this book. We highly recommend that you go get the book and read it yourself, because there's just so much of the science behind the psychology of building habits and disciplines. And James Clear's done an amazing job of compiling some of that information together, but then putting this four-step process together that makes it very easy to follow and understand why habits form the way that they do and how to be intentional about changing the behaviors that you want to change once you become aware of them. So we're going to cover those four laws of behavior change that he expels in his book tonight, or today in the podcast, but highly recommend that you go get the book, read it for yourself, and get the full breadth of what he has to share there. So what's the first law, Maria?
The first law says, make it obvious, make it invisible. So what he's talking about here is to create a plan that will make the habit concrete and design your environment in such a way that you will definitely remember to do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. I remember when I read this book, this was big eye-opening for me, something that I never heard before, about make sure your environment is ready for your habit. And one of the things that come to mind is an example. If you want to work out first thing in the morning, creating your environment to be ready to go might mean you get your clothes ready for you to just change at that time in the morning. Your tennis shoes is ready, your socks, everything that you need, it's ready to go. So you don't need to think about it. You roll out of the bed, put that clothes on and keep moving, and you will wake up and start working out. Mm-hmm. And the more you do it, the easier it will become. Another thing that I remember he's saying that I apply into my life was creating the environment for me to have my time with the Lord, to have quiet time, to have my personal time. I create that environment first thing in the morning while the rest of my family still sleeps, because then I can have that peace. My brain is just waking up, so I don't have a lot in my mind. I haven't gone all day thinking of a million things, so I'm just fresh. And I can just grab my coffee, sit on my chair, read my Bible, spend my time with the Lord, write my gratitude. So I create the right environment to grow into that habit, mm-hmm. and to make it invisible, right? To make it obvious. I just, as I enter in my office in the morning, my brain already knows what's going to happen. If I roll out the bed when my alarm goes off and start putting my workout clothes, my brain already knows what happened. That's the habit. Mm-hmm. And then you quick get into the state that you need to do that activity.
Yeah. And the opposite of that, so the first law is make it obvious. But the opposite of that, if you want to break a bad habit, is to make it invisible. So an example of that is if you've got a hard time going to social media, for instance, maybe Instagram is your thing. It's a time waster for you. It's an easy distraction or temptation for you. Moving that off of the home screen on your phone and moving it to a screen that takes a lot longer to get to. Maybe it's four swipes over, or maybe it's, you know, having to go into your apps and flip through a couple of pages to find that icon, makes it more difficult. And in the scrolling through to find it, it's a really good practice for your brain to recognize, why am I doing this? And make that conscious decision to be disciplined and say, this isn't going to serve me. Let me get back to what I need to do, or let me go do this other thing instead.
Yeah, that's good.
So let's go on to the second law of behavior change, which is make it attractive. One of the things that James Clear talks about in his book is combining a habit that you need to do with a habit that you want to do. And I thought he had a really great example in the book where he talks about a client of his that wanted to work out more, but he didn't particularly enjoy working out. What he enjoyed to do was binge watching Netflix. So what he did was, what James talks about in the book is, reward yourself with something you like to do, but only allow yourself to do that thing after you've done something that you need to do. You're stacking a habit with something that you need to do that maybe you don't want to do, but then immediately following that with rewarding yourself with something that you enjoy doing. And that does two things. Number one, psychologically that works, because then you start to associate the thing that you need to do with the dopamine hit in the reward center of your brain, because it's immediately followed with something that gives you that reward stimulation. But then the other thing it does is it forces you mentally to go do this other thing so that you get the reward of doing the thing that you want to do. And so what this client did was he actually took it a step further, and he wasn't allowed to do the thing that he wanted to do, which was watch Netflix, unless he was doing the thing that he needed to do, which is working out. So he set it up where his computer was connected to his stationary bike, which then connected to the television, and he set an RPM measurement on the bike. So the TV would turn on if he maintained a certain RPM on the stationary bike. But as soon as he fell below that, the TV would turn off. So if he's in the middle of a show watching a series on Netflix, faster, and he wasn't keeping up the pace that he wanted to keep, the show would cut off. And so he'd have to bring the pace back up and get it running again. So I thought that was a really funny but real example, because I think a lot of people can relate to that. We'd all like to sit on the couch and binge watch Netflix for hours on end and neglect our physical health and exercise. But I thought that was a great example of how to combine the two.
Yeah, one of the things that I do is I either listen to a book or worship music or a message, something while I'm doing dishes or I'm folding laundry or I'm cooking dinner, so I can multitask. And while I'm doing things that I need to do, I create the habit of listening to those. But as you were talking about the Netflix and the mic, I was laughing here because I remember of the music, I Trust in God, and the ice bath. Oh, yeah. Now when we listen to that song, we start shivering.
Yeah, so my best friend Nick Surface blessed me with my own cold plunge for my birthday, and I've been introducing Maria to a new habit and a yes. new discipline of getting in that cold plunge on a regular basis, which she still doesn't love to do, but she understands the value of it and is challenging herself in that new way. But it is funny how you start to get a mental association with something. So that song, I Trust in God, is the song that we often play when we get into the cold plunge. And so now I'll hear that when I'm just in the house or in the car, and immediately, like, I get goosebumps on my skin because I've already associated that song with the cold plunge.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to number three, make it easy.
Yeah, so that's just what it sounds like. So instead of focusing on some large task or goal that may seem insurmountable, you break it down into more bite-sized portions that you can commit to every day. So a really easy example for that is if you want to read a book, it can sound daunting to pick up a book that's 250 pages. But if you just commit to reading 10 pages a day, then before long, within a month, you'll have a 250-page book read if you commit to just picking the book up every day and reading 10 pages, put the book down.
This is a very hot topic that I talk to my clients. It's about, you know, your goal, you know, where you want to achieve, breaking it down into bite size, right? You can't eat an elephant at once, but bite by bite, you can eat the whole elephant. So I usually challenge my clients to think about, what can you do today? Usually what they say is like, I don't have time. We are all very busy, but where in your day that you can find 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes to start the habit, and then you can grow and increase into it, right? Make it very easy. If you want to start working out and you haven't been doing that for a while, just start with getting out of the bed, putting that clothes on, walk around the block one time. The next day you do the same, do it for a whole week. The next week, walk two blocks, right? And then you start stretching yourself into what you want to achieve. The ice bath, I have been there as long as one whole minute, and my goal is to be there for three, but all I can do now is 1 minute. But the more that I know that I will do it.
You made it 2 minutes the other day.
Okay, minute and a half. But it's way more than the first time I tried that I lasted 13 seconds. Mm-hmm. So I already have grown into that habit because I know, right? Because I have a vision and I understand the benefits of creating that habit in my life. That's why I keep going and I keep pushing myself to do it over and over again until it becomes natural into my subconscious. I don't think it will ever gonna start hurting, but it's just gonna become easier.
Yeah, that's great. And again, if you've got bad habits that you want to break, it's just do the opposite of each of these. So the first law was make it obvious. The opposite of that is make it invisible. Law two is make it attractive. The opposite of that is make it unattractive. Law three, make it easy. Opposite is make it difficult. And then the fourth one is make it satisfying. So I talked earlier about adding something that you want, something that is a desirable thing for you at the end of something that you know you need to do. That's one way that you can make it satisfying. But another way is to just celebrate your wins along the way and start stacking wins. One of the things that I practice for myself, and I encourage those that I coach to practice as well, is to every single day write down a win for that day and read back on your wins often. And there's something that you can find every single day that is a win for you. And if you're practicing habits, there's something that you can take away from, even if it's just that I did that thing today. Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow it's, I did that thing 2 days in a row. Mm-hmm. And then 3 days from now, it's, you know, I've done it for 3 days. Well, a month from now, if you've done it every day for a month, you're going to have a big win from having done that thing for 30 or 31 days straight. And you start to stack these wins together. And once you build a habit, this is the coolest thing about it, is once a habit is built, again, it becomes automatic. It mm-hmm. becomes so routine that you don't even have to think anymore to do it. And then you can start focusing on what's the next habit that I want to start building for myself. And that's how you start to stack those wins. And one of the things, again, that I encourage everyone to do is document your progress. Document, like, keep a journal of lessons that you're learning along the way. What are those habits that you're trying to break or build in your life? And document the journey along the way. One of my own personal daily habits and routines that has helped me more than anything here recently, and this is something that I learned from Nick and Garrett and their podcast, The Impossible Life, is the Ivy Lee method of planning your days. So that's something that I practice at the end of every one of my work days now. I practice documenting what are the 6 things that I need to get done, the 6 most important things that I need to get done the next day. And then I set some intention for the day to come. And that makes it a non-decision for me. There's no wasting time in my morning. When I sit down at my desk to start my work each day, I'm not wasting any time wondering, well, what do I need to get done today? Where does my focus need to go? I've already done that planning the night before, or the day before. So when I start my day, I know exactly where my focus needs to go. And I focus on what's number one on my list until I get that thing done. And then I can move on to number 2, number 3, number 4. If there's anything left over from that list that I didn't get to today, that becomes number 1 or number, 1 and 2 on my list for tomorrow. And then I add 3 or, 5 or 4 or more things to that list. And that gets me started for tomorrow.
Yeah. And creating the habits, one thing that we didn't talk about here, it's if you become aware of a habit that you don't want to have in your life, something you want to change, right? It's always good to replace that habit with something that you want. If you think about it, when you were talking about the Bible verse about the wall, the city with the walls down, right? If you just empty that space, that time, that habit, it's going to be easier for you to attach or grab another bad habit. Mm-hmm. So be intentional of what habit you want to switch. When you were talking about the Instagram, right? Switch the app into a different page on your phone, but put the Bible app in the front and exactly go to the Bible app. Just, start reading the Bible the times that you would go straight to the Instagram, because, there's emotions, there's situations, there are things that are going to trigger certain habits in your life that you're using to cope, that you're using to, feed that emotion or mm-hmm. things that you have in your life. So replacing the habits, it's very important and it's very efficient. I remember when you were quitting smoking and I was like, instead of going outside to smoke, go outside to walk, like find something else, because the smoking was a coping for the stress, mm-hmm. right? So you would go outside to smoke and relax and stop thinking of whatever you needed to just to breathe. So instead of going outside to smoke, go outside and take a walk. That was a replacement of a habit. So then you're being intentional of the habits that you're creating in your life to see the results in your life that you want.
Yeah, there were two main takeaways for me when I quit smoking. I'd smoked for about 20 years of my life. And so that was one of the hardest things I've ever done, mm-hmm. was quitting smoking cigarettes. But I'll say two things about that. Number one is Galatians 5:22-23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That, me quitting smoking, I had tried for years and years and years under my own power. It was only when I gave that to God that it got taken away. Like, the self-control came from the Holy Spirit inside of me giving that to me.
That also, if you're now going into the spiritual, right? That was the spirit of addiction. Mm-hmm. The Bible talks about every time you release, you have been set free from a spirit. You got to fill yourself up with the Holy Spirit, right? Otherwise, that spirit will go around, get another seven and come, and it's going to be even worse, right? So that attaches with the replacing the habit. So fill yourself up with the Holy Spirit and the power and the gift that He gives you, that self-control, so you can continue to do the right things, choosing the right things, making that choice every day. Don't worry about yesterday. Don't think about tomorrow. Don't get overwhelmed. Just think, what's the choice that I need to make right now?
Yeah. The other thing that I developed there is meditation and prayer practice. Because that's, you talk about replacing a bad habit with a good habit. That's what I was intentional about doing. So we have a prayer room or meditation room at our office. And I started, when I would get the urge to go outside and smoke a cigarette, instead of going outside to smoke a cigarette, I'd go downstairs and go to the meditation and prayer room. Mm. And I would sit there for 5 or 10 minutes, however long it would typically take me to smoke a cigarette. I would sit there in darkness, in silence, praying and meditating. And that developed a new habit for me, to where I still use that today. In moments of high stress, I'll use that as a disconnect. And that's where my mind goes often, when I'm really stressed out about something, or when I feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulders. That will be a... It used to be that would be my trigger to go smoke a cigarette. Well, now that's my trigger to go find God. That's my trigger to go connect with God and just spend some time in quietness and in stillness.
And James Clear also says, you do not rise to the level of your goals, but fall to the level of your systems. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Because when I'm working with my clients too, right, when you think about the vision, right, it's usually something big that you can do it right now. So breaking it down into small pieces, it helps you to take the first step, right? Creating the first habit. I am not a speaker, but I have the vision of becoming a speaker. Okay, I can become a speaker. I'm overwhelmed. No, let's create your message first, right? What is your message? What do you want to speak about? And then let's practice that message. Let's make it very clear. So when the opportunity to speak comes, you are confident that you can stand in front of your audience and speak about something confidently.
Yeah, and you're ready to go have the impact that you were created to have.
Exactly. Yeah, so break it down into small bites. He also says, right, if you were able to improve 1% each day for an entire year, and those gains compound, you would end up 37 times better at the end of the year.
That's amazing, James, to think Clear. About. 1% difference every day means at the end of 365 days, you'll be 37 times better than you were when you started.
And I think talking about this is which becomes very clear to me. The people that send the New Year's resolution and they quit right away, it's because they are not breaking it down and small enough bite size that they can take it at that time. Mm. The goal, it's clear, but the time frame that they're allowing themselves to achieve that goal is too short. You need more time so you can grow those habits.
Yeah, or they give up because the goal seems insurmountable, right?
They're focusing on the end result, mm-hmm. not in the habit or
not
the
on
step.
The process.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that's awesome. Great.
All right, well, let's wrap it up there. So I hope that this has been helpful for you. I hope that you've gotten something out of it. Again, highly recommend that you go check out James Clear's book, Atomic Habits. Just want to leave you with a few things as takeaways from this episode. Go create positive daily routines for yourself. Make a plan when it comes to building a new habit or eliminating a bad habit, and put that plan to work in your life. And start creating the right environment around you to cultivate good habits in your life.
And always go back to your vision. Create your vision. What life do you want to have? What legacy do you want to leave? And then break it down and think about what positive habits do I need to create and replace right now in my life so I can become that person.
Oh, the title of the episode is What Are You Doing? Ask yourself, what am I doing and why am I doing this? Is this serving me or is it not? And again, awareness is the starting point for all of this.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for joining us in this conversation today, and we hope to see you back here next week.
God bless. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, please review, like, subscribe, and share it with someone you think would benefit from it. You can also connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Legacy Minded Leadership on your preferred platform. You can also email us directly at legacymindedleadership@gmail.com. If you have any questions or if you're interested in learning more about individual coaching with me or Maria. Until next time, stay focused on your purpose and remember that God loves you and He has great plans for your life. Thank you.